Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank.
And I'm Marissa Kleiss with Team Reba, RE/MAX Metro East Side.
All right. And this afternoon, we have Max Prinsen here. And Max is the president of Shadow Lake Nature Preserve. Welcome, Max.
Well, thank you, Eric and Marissa, for having us today.
Well, absolutely glad to have you on the show. So Max, Shadow Lake Nature Preserve, tell us about it. Where is it at and all about it?
Well, we're located in southeast King County. We're in unincorporated King County between Maple Valley, Kent, and Renton.
Okay.
In that kind of little corner that's still unincorporated. 23 miles from here, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're right next to Lake Youngs, the water reservoir, and, of course, adjacent to Shadow Lake.
Right, right. So what is the preserve?
Well, the preserve started out as a project to just kind of create some open space that we could maybe invite kids to. I went to a physically disabled school when I was in high school, and I was fortunate that my parents had a mountain cabin. And being in a physically disabled school, I also realized that a lot of kids in the inner city didn't have the opportunity to go visit nature. So
absolutely.
I just thought it would be a cool place to have some kids come to. But then once we realized how significant it was as a peat bog, we said we had to do more.
So and that's the thing. So the nature preserve itself is a peat bog, and there's a lake there, obviously Shadow Lake. And then you've got how many acres out there?
Well, currently we have 97 acres in protection.
Excellent.
We started with one, and then we bought the 18 and a half acres, which is predominantly the peat bog.
Okay.
And then we started looking at the hydrology and then acquiring additional parcels.
Okay, so and many of our listeners might not even know what we're talking about when we're talking about a peat bog. So explain what that is.
Most certainly. So basically the geology here in western Washington is it's about 5,000 years ago, the last glaciers were receding from the area.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did, they either receded and flowed out towards the ocean, and some sat in kind of like, imagine a fishbowl or a soup bowl, and they got stuck there. And when they melted, just like as you would take an ice cube and roll it around in the dirt and then let it melt on your counter, a bunch of the dirt deposits lay on the side, and then it creates a kind of a self-dam. And that dam allowed the lake to form, and then they don't know exactly why, but part of it started to get the peat growing in it. So basically the lake is probably about twice the size as it is today, but half of it is full of peat.
And peat, we're talking peat moss, right?
That's correct.
So this is what I put on my lawn and help my grass grow and everything else.
Right, yeah. Sphagnum moss is the major component of the peat bog. It's used in a lot of nursery materials because sphagnum itself has got a very open cellular structure, and it absorbs a lot of water. It's just like that sponge on your sink.
Sure, sure. Okay, which is why it's so good for gardening and everything else. So this peat just naturally grows there. How deep is this bog?
Well, the University of Washington did a peat resource study in the 40s, and it was measured to be 40 to 65 feet deep in places.
Wow, that's a big bog.
It's a lot of peat.
Holy. Interesting. And I've looked at your website, and there's a great YouTube video also that sort of talks about the forming of this organization and how you've acquired land and everything. So you have boardwalks throughout this preserve, yeah?
Yeah, we have one boardwalk right now, which we're hoping to extend in the near future, that takes you out into the very sensitive area of the peat, because peat is like a sponge. It's very soft.
Sure.
And if you were to walk on that continuously, you would just make a big trench, and it would be filled with water eventually. So we built a boardwalk that allows you to walk above the peat, preserves the peat area itself, but it gives you that great experience of seeing the different types of hummocks and different attributes of the peat bog itself.
Interesting. And what types of animal life and everything else do you have out there?
Well, a peat bog is, as we just said, is sphagnum moss. There's a variety of different types of peat mosses that actually comprise the peat bog, but only the top few inches are growing. So think of the bottom portion of the peat bog kind of like a gigantic tea bag.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And so as the water flows through the tea bag, it gets darker. mm-hmm. and it gets the tea flavor, right? Well, as the water flows through the peat bog, it becomes more acidic because the peat is itself is decomposing, leaching out tannins.
Okay,
and as it starts to travel through there and become more acidic, it now becomes a habitat for different types of plants that can survive better in those types of places. For example, bog laurel or Labrador tea or sundew. These are plants that you will not see in the regular forest. You'll only see them in peat bogs.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so someone coming out here, they're really going to have a unique experience, and they're going to be seeing things that you're not going to normally notice or see on a hike through our regular woods or forests. And
that's absolutely true.
And then what about the animals? I'm thinking like frogs and salamanders and all of that going on.
Yeah, there's the peat bog is because, again, the acidity. First thing that people will think of is, well, you got all that water and you're going to have mosquitoes and bugs mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But the acidity actually discourages the bugs. And the mosquitoes don't want to lay eggs in the water there.
Yeah.
So it actually becomes a little more devoid of types of insects and things like that.
Yeah.
And so, but it does harbor different types of habitats for, like there's a Bellard's beetle that's specific to peat bog. There's a variety of other critters that live there. And needless to say that when you have an open habitat like that, that's very good. You're going to get things like the, you know, the coyotes and you know, all of our native animals that we have use that, except for large animals. Because large animals don't like to walk on the peat because they sink.
They have
a very small foot front, and they will sink down into the bog. So the deer and the elk stay away from the peat bog.
Yeah.
And but the other animals use it as a great place to just kind of meander through and find something.
Oh, fantastic! This is really great to know. And you're running education programs here. You mentioned kind of built this whole thing for the kids. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, we eventually felt that, in 1995 when I bought the original parcel, the 18 acres, we had this concept of bringing kids. But when we realized the fact that only 3% of the peat bogs in Washington State were remaining, that it was really a great resource to be able to share. And to share that and to be able to have hands-on education just seemed like a natural. So what we did is we created the education center. There was an old workshop on the building that on the property that we rehabilitated and allowed it to become a ed center. And now what we do is we have right now the Tomah School District, all the fourth graders come through on an annual basis.
That's got to be fun.
And we have approximately about 1,600, 1,700 kids that come through on an annual basis to do education there. We do a lot with homeschoolers, Cub Scouts, Girl Scouts, you know, all of the different types of organizations that you can think of. In fact, tomorrow we'll have YMCA there. So.
Fantastic. I know I do a lot of volunteering and mentoring for the Boy Scouts, and we have a lot of kids who are trying to work on their Eagle Scout badge, which is kind of the highest rank you can get in scouting for Boy Scouts, and they're always looking for projects, so should hook you up there.
Well, definitely. In fact, we believe in acknowledging people that work at the bog. And if you do take a walk down Boardwalk, you'll notice that there's a variety of benches that were built by Eagle Scouts. There were improvements. The fact that the boardwalk was built in 1998, it's had a lot of traffic. Just last year, we had an Eagle Scout that did rehabilitation, replace boards. You know, do things to maintain the boardwalk itself. So we have lots of projects that are available for people to do.
Wow. So if your students come out there, then what types of activities are they doing when they're out?
Well, they'll learn about water quality and the significance of why these types of spaces are very important, not only just to the animals and having open space, but the fact that a peat bog acts as like a very large storm control function.
Mm-hmm.
So just like that sponge on your sink, it absorbs the water.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you hold that sponge up, it drips out very slowly. And a bog is the same way. It can hold a tremendous amount of water, and it gives it back to our system very slowly. So the waters that come out of the peat bog eventually end up in Shadow Lake, but Shadow Lake eventually fills to a point in the wintertime when there starts to become some outflows. And those outflows eventually go to Jenkins Creek, to Seuss Creek. And these are all salmon-bearing type systems. And so cool, clean water is a very important component to our salmon habitat these days.
Of course.
So these are all major contributors to that.
So where's the water? What's the source of the water?
Basically, it's just the rainwater, and there are some spring systems. And that's why looking at groundwater and protecting the groundwater systems is so important to the health of the peat bog itself. So there are other types of systems in King County called a fen, and a fen has peat in it as well.
Sure.
But it has incoming water that meanders. Part of that started to grow in with peat, and then it has outflowing water on a routine basis. A bog, as remember, is this basically this fishbowl that you got to fill it up to a certain point before the water starts coming out of the fishbowl.
Of course,
and that's what happens with the peat bog.
I'm thinking more like standing water typically, if I'm thinking about that, rather than moving water.
Right.
And I don't know if that is that a right analogy with
That's absolutely perfect. Yes.
Okay, so a fen might be a bit more moving.
A little more moving water. That's
all
correct.
All right. Got it. Got it. Many years ago, I used to work and live in England, and where we had fens and we had bogs and all of that. So, in fact, so that all kind of makes sense now that I think about it. So, fantastic.
If you go further south beyond Olympia, you won't find systems like that, because we're kind of towards the southern point of the hemisphere where bogs and fens and things like that existed.
Oh, really? And is it also sort of a nature, because where you're talking about, so, you know, if we're kind of in that Kent Maple Valley, you know, triangle down there, that's Renton, all that. We're kind of sort of in the foothills of the mountains. Is that sort of also where, you know, we're going to see those because the water tends to be congregating there?
Well, you see them.
Or the glaciers, I guess.
It's the glaciers, right. Yeah. So it's basically tied to the glaciers. And if you go towards like Black Diamond, you'll see lakes that were numbered, like Lake 12, Lake 8, this thing.
Sure.
Those were peat bogs that were peated out.
Oh,
and so were actually commercialized, and the peat was used, and then you ended up with a big pond
of
water.
A pond. Oh, interesting. Okay, so that they just completely harvested it, and that's the end of that.
Exactly.
So, no kidding. So, and you went in and actually bought land here and made sure that Shadow Lake didn't get peated out.
That's correct. Yeah, we looked at it as this huge resource for not only the habitat, but for the community as well.
Fantastic. Well, listeners, don't peat out on us. We're going to be back after this brief break and more with Max Prinsen from the Shadow Lake Nature Preserve. Stay tuned.
Got a question? Call it in. 866-712-1300.